Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 4th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to them, "I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want. So if you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It says, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Be seated for our hands.
Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the first Sunday in Lent, as you can tell here, and Lent is all about sin. But if you think about it, so is Christmas, Epiphany, soon Easter, and the rest of the church year. All of this is about sin. This place, our church, is here for one reason, and one reason only. It is for God to expose and remove your sin. That is the only business of the church. That's why you are all here this morning, or at least that's why you should be here this morning. So the purpose of Lent, the church, the purpose of Jesus is to take away your sin. Everything God has done and is doing now after Genesis chapter 3 is because of sin. And unfortunately for us humans, we don't want to think that our sin is so serious, so deadly, or eventually will give you over to death itself. Then we don't really need a church, do we? So then we don't really need Jesus. What good is a crucified Savior that no one needs? So churches go through the motions, become social outlets and charitable organizations where we do nice things for others who need it, because we are all fine and squared away here, aren't we? It's the other people who need our deliverance, for every one of our neighbors in need of mercy and charity. But you see, if we ever really lose sight that we are poor, miserable sinners, that of all the people of the world, we are the most guilty, most sinful, most unclean, that my sin drives me out of heaven and into the depths of hell forever, that hell is a real bitter place of total isolation and misery, that you and your terror are never separated. If we ever lose sight that deliverance from our sin is needed, and our children from their sin, and our friends and neighbors need deliverance from their sin, if we ever lose sight of the great tragedy inside each and every one of us, despite the good front that we put up for people around us, then the church has lost its purpose. God put the church here, in this place, so that he can remove your sin. That's why our Lord is here today. So, as pastor, to be true to my calling through the Holy Spirit and to speak truthfully, one must stand before all of the good people who have come here and say what is true about each and every one of us. Sin has infected you. Sin has infected me with death. You can't escape it. It's festering in your deepest parts. It's working its way through you from top to bottom. And of course, the world will defend itself, as we too often do, and say, but you know, we're mostly pretty good people here. And if we truly mean that, then we don't know sin at all. Sin rots you. Sin decays. Sin perverts everything it touches, and it most certainly touches you and me. Need proof? Ever been sick? Ever mistreat someone? Hold a grudge? Been rejected? Cry tears of pain? Suffered an accident? These things are not God's judgments upon specific sins, but they are signs of sin that is on and in all people. The sin that is in and on you and me. These things can't happen to a sinless person in a sinless world. See, it's real easy for me to prove that you have touched a hot stovetop. How do I do it? I show you the burns on your hands. I can show you your sin by showing you your pain, your weakness, your anger, your bitterness in the world. You see, if your marriage is perfect, your children are perfect, if your health is perfect, if your house is perfect, if nothing breaks down, nothing disappoints, nothing hurts, if life is perfect, then relax. You're safe. Sin has not polluted you. You will live forever, even without Jesus. But if your life is not perfect, if your health is not perfect, if your family is not perfect, then something deadly is causing it. Something deadly is causing all of this grief. It's not God. God does not break things just so he can have a laugh on a Tuesday afternoon. He does not cause trouble just to do it. God is peace and not chaos. God is love and not hate. God is life and not the death within you. If chaos and hatred and sickness and suspicion and death have invaded your life and your family, then you better recognize it. You see, this is it. Sin has corrupted you. You are ruined. You are condemned by it. It's a wilderness out there that you are caught in, a wasteland, and you're lost in it forever. But Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led into the wilderness. Look beside you this morning in the wilderness, and there's Jesus. Also alone, also starving, also miserable, also stalked by Satan, seeking whom he may devour. This Jesus on his way is on his way to dying also. But why is Jesus in the wilderness? He never sinned. His body, his flesh and bone, his heart and soul are as pure and as pure and holy can be. Why is he in this barren place, hungry, tempted, and suffering like this? Because you are here. Jesus can't stay in heaven's peace and glory while you are here suffering. If you lose all things, he loses all things. If you starve and squirm and sweat, he too must starve and squirm and sweat. If you suffer condemnation, he suffers condemnation. If you die, he must die also. He loves you too much to leave you here in this desert of your sins, even with the bright enticements and the occasional splendor and excellent advertising at Satan's disposal. And while this world's prince may still scowl fierce as he will, Jesus is by your side on the plain, where you are, where the fight is. Jesus is the one who fights alone for us. And that fight consists of crucifixion on a cross, rising from the dead, and ascension to the Father's side, where he holds the fields forever. And something even more is happening here. Wherever Jesus walks in this wilderness, this desert, new life springs in us. Namely, your life from God to you. It's like a big leafy green tree from the Garden of Eden in the middle of this desert where you would least expect it. A tree of life to eat from. And he is also springing up bubbling water from this streams in the desert, in the middle of your desert. And as he stands beside us, he's shouting defiantly against Satan and his carefully cultivated desert around you. Jesus by your side shouts one word, forgiven. Jesus suffers. Jesus starves. Jesus wanders in this bitter 40-day wilderness for one reason. Because you are here. But it's not to empathize with you or to give you some type of encouragement to make it through. He's here to finally get you out of here, to recreate you, to take you back to heaven with his Father. That's why the Holy Spirit led him to your spot in the desert. And he also brings down life from heaven to this spot in your desert. He brings food down from heaven, healing your hurt mind, your broken heart, your bruised body and soul. Sin wrecks you, so death claims you. But Jesus heals you of death and forgives you and then perfects you. In the sacraments of baptism and Holy Communion, Jesus says, here is your deliverance from Satan and all his works and all his ways. Here is the cleansing for all your sin. Jesus is with us in our wilderness. It's why his body, the church, is here, right here this morning. It's why you are here at this very moment. This life, this deliverance, this cleansing is yours. Yes, sin is still deadly in you and on you, but your God is with you, and your God has delivered you. Amen.